B-Pod Studios.
This is Talkin' Rock. Talkin' Rock. Your backstage pass to some of your favorite rock artists. Here's your host, Meltdown.
All right, thanks for tuning by. It's the Talkin' Rock with Meltdown podcast. Thank you so much for downloading and subscribing and wherever you may be listening to this around the world. And today, normally, I kind of fly solo, but today I've invited my friend Darren McCarty, hockey legend, here into the studio to talk about what we got coming up today. So how you doing, D-Mac?
I'm doing good. Just to break it to you, there's only one hockey legend in this room right now, buddy, even though you want to be, but high in heart.
Well, listen.
And your voice might be a little raspy.
Right.
Because you're not stopping at the net. Maybe you're starting to hit the net a little bit more. Stop at the net, and then you go so fast, Meltdown.
Right, probably. That is. I got to slow it down a little bit. There's no question about it. But, you know, as I've said before, D-Mac, within this walls, there's four Stanley Cup rings, so you can't argue that fact.
And they're all mine.
So listen, we're gonna talk to Damon here coming up in just a second. But the reason that I'm talking to D-Mac, and we could talk about this in the podcast, because we have a very special event coming up on WRIF in Detroit in a few weeks. Of course, the anniversary of the Beatdown, which we'll get into coming up here a little bit later on. But can you believe 25 years? Wow.
Man. It's crazy, isn't it? And I think the easiest way to check it is to see in how old everybody's kids are.
Right.
Right? It's just looking around and that's where it's at. But it also, too, is it goes to, like, we've been friends, you know, a long time. And it goes to show, I always say, destination is an oasis. It's part of the journey, and we're all on this journey. But a lot of us have been on the journey together in different places. And, you know, we're talking to a guy who I've known a long, long time, as you have. And I think that, you know, one of the introductions was through the riff.
Right. Well, we'll get into that here in a second. I wanted to bring this point up, though, real fast. I was playing hockey a few weeks ago, and I was talking with...
Of course you were.
Right, of course I was. And Milan Hayduk plays with us, who was former Colorado Avalanche. I mean, just an awesome player, right? And we were talking about the fight. And I said to him, I said, was there ever a fight that you could think of in the history of hockey that changed the trajectory of a team? And I don't think there is. There's been fights. There's been great fights. But nothing that really turned everything around for the team like that one did on March 26th, 1997.
Well, here's the question I always ask, as we're 25 years out, is does Claude ever just, when he's alone, just think, oh my God, I messed up?
All right, well, there's that.
Thanks for messing up, Claude.
There's that laugh in the background there. Damon Johnson is kind of like a fly in the wall here, just joining us. How you doing, Damon?
Guys, I'm so happy to be on the phone with the two of you right now. I just have this giant smile on my face. That beatdown is the greatest moment in sports history in my life. D-Mac, you and I've talked about it many times, man. I mean, I'll never forget it as long as I live. I talk to my kids about it. I've watched it on YouTube 1,000 times, man. It's just...
The whole thing is, it goes, we've talked about it, but it goes deeper, because at the end of the day, it's about in life and in sports, bad things happen, is that you can't lose respect for a fellow human being. And the fact Claude Lemieux didn't apologize about hitting Draves from behind, and, you know, karma all played through. But talking to you, Damon, there's one thing I got to say is, right, I got no shame, but I got someone to blame, and that's you, brother, for not having it. But no, that's the whole thing, is because we can all go back to, and it's a Detroit versus everybody thing, and it's a wing-wheeled nation thing throughout the country. You're a prime example, right, of being part of the wing-wheeled nation. But you're in Nashville, yeah, and you're elsewhere, but it carries around, but it's that pride of doing things the right way. And to Meltdown's point earlier, the trajectory of this organization, and I always call it March 26, 1997, Red Wing D-Day, is because we can go back to there, and that's where it changed. We're sitting in hindsight. Mm-hmm. We're sitting here. I got the four cups over here, and I don't wear my rings around Meltdown because because for some reason I'm going to lose one. You just know it's going to happen. But the fact is, and now look where we're at in the wing-wheeled nation, where Stevie's back. All the guys are up top trying to make it right. We got the young talent, so.
Well, what people may not know, that Damon is really intertwined in the Wing Wheel Nation, because He met his wife here through you. So, Damon, how do you meet your wife here in Detroit?
I'm not only the greatest winger on the grind line, I am the greatest wingman in life. And I will go to my boy Damon Johnson for that.
That's a fact. That's a fact, man. Listen, it was such an amazing, it was a great night. You know, we were, me and one of the, a couple of the other Brother King guys, we were on the riff. We were on with the legend, Arthur P.
Right, right.
And Darren McCarty calls into the station while the Brother King guys are on the air doing an interview. And we had just told Arthur that we had the night off because we were going to play a gig the next night. Matt calls, offers us tickets to the game. I'm like, are you kidding? Yes, we'll go. We go to the game. I think you guys played the Canucks that night.
You would know better than me, bro.
yeah. You guys, and it was a total beatdown. So afterwards,
now back up one second. Hang on for one second. Was this, being a Southern guy and stuff, were you familiar with hockey? Was it in your blood, or is this like one of your introductions to it? Or where were you at?
No, I was kind of getting introduced. I mean, we had like a minor league hockey team in Birmingham, the Birmingham Bulls.
Okay.
And I had been to a few of those games, but nowhere near. Roman Glick was a diehard hockey fan. He grew up, his family played, and, you know, so he was kind of turning me on to it. But so Darren invited us out after the game, and so we go to this amazing trash bar.
The Post Bar. Legendary Post Bar.
And we're walking in the door, and he goes, oh, hey, man, I got to introduce you to this friend of mine. She's got this girl, Linda. She's got the NHL shield tattooed, you know, on her shoulder. And I remember thinking, what? This girl's got the NHL shield tattooed. I'm thinking, man, this is going to be a rough looking girl.
Let me slow down just a little bit because of, and it's true. So shout out to Roman and Moniker. Love Roman. He's playing bass on Jackal, you know, and obviously stuff like that.
He's
and,
got a giant Red Wings tattoo on his neck.
Right, he's a huge fan, but it was in us talking. It's sort of, and it was one of these things. So at the Post Bar, and I love the band and stuff, but I'm not going to spend my time after the game, right, talking hockey to teach this guy hockey. So what do? I find a friend of mine, Linda, who by just matter of fact knows as much hockey as anybody else. That's the whole thing. Is so the whole intention wasn't the love connection. It was more of, hey, bro, Linda's cool
as heck.
She you know, because she's so like the music and whatever. She's just such a unique human being that I was like, oh, Damon, you'll hit it off with her. Like they'll be able to talk, and if they don't talk hockey, that they'll probably talk music or whatever like this. So I just make the introduction, and then I'm off doing my D-Max stuff, whatever that is.
Well, and by the way, for people that are listening to us outside of Detroit, the Post Bar is a dark, dingy,
there's no
windows.
It's a steel door you walk in. There's a small DJ stand. There's a bar half that goes halfway down on one side, and it's a long way. It might be a pool table. There's no doors on the bathrooms.
It's not a pretty place.
No, it's the greatest place ever.
Yeah.
Just think of greatest dive bar ever.
Dive bar. So go ahead. So Damon, so you meet this girl.
Well, yeah, I mean, that was kind of it. And we spoke a little bit that night.
Well, hang on for one second. You thought to yourself, well, she's got the NHL shield. This could be, you know, a little bit rough, you said. So when you see her, what do you think?
Oh, I was like, oh my God, that's her. Like that girl is gorgeous. She's drop dead gorgeous. And, so the edited version of what happened after that meltdown is a year later, I'm in Los Angeles writing some Brother Kane songs with my friend Marty Fredrickson. I hit up Mac because I wanted to go see the Wings. They played the Kings that night. Mm. He's like, yeah, man, I'll get you tickets. I'm walking down to my seat and somebody calls my name and I turn around and it's this girl, Linda.
A year
later.
And
I'm like, hey, one year later, I'm like, wait, I know you. She's like, yeah, we met at the Post in Detroit. And I was like, what are you doing here? She goes, well, I'm from Los Angeles, and we're just coming to the game. I'm like, what? This is all too weird. So we hung out a little bit that night. One more year later, meltdown. Brother Kane is playing Pine Knob with Cheap Trick and Candlebox. I'm doing another interview with Arthur P. I'm sitting at the end of the room. All of a sudden, this girl comes around the corner and there she was. It was her again. And wow. Then something happened. It was all lightning bolts and rainbows, and I'm like, God, this girl is... And that's it, man.
I didn't realize that.
And
it was,
to this day, right? How old are the kids now?
Yeah, Gabriel's 17.
Wow.
Matt. Hockey player, yeah.
Gabe is 17. Yep. Yeah, Jolene is 13. So, yeah, man, Linda and I started dating. That was in 98, and she moved to Birmingham a year later, and then we got married in 2002, and the rest is history.
Hey, you know
all
what?
Thanks to Darren McCarty.
I just want credit as not only the best wingman on the grind line, but the best wingman
in life. Right.
And what did we hear there? To everybody out listening to Meltdown's podcast, just like Darren McCarty, if you live patient, resilient like that plant, right? Just all in due time, it'll all come around. There it is. I knew I'd get the Darren McCarty brand message in here somewhere.
I didn't realize that I was under the impression for all these years that D-Man introduce you guys and you guys hit it off and started dating right away, but it actually took a while, huh?
No, it took a couple of years.
I didn't realize it took a couple of years.
So it's
a beautiful story.
Mac introduced me to Linda. That was 96.
Yeah.
So then the next year was the beatdown. You know, I'm fully invested in Red Wings hockey at that point.
That's right.
You know, just as a fan. So, you know, when that happened, because we were already stoked about, you know, Darren, and, you know, he was gracious, man. He introduced us to so many guys on the team, and it was just, so we felt like part of the family. So then when the whole thing happened with Lemieux, man, we were as energized as anybody in Detroit.
And you know what, Melton, is the cool, Damon, you bring this up, is that, like, after that, as we traveled to whatever, to, like, my friends all around, and even just people of how much you saw, you know, the appreciation, you, at the moment, you're more so focused, because, you know, this is March, and then you're getting into playoffs, and you haven't won, and you're, you know, all this stuff, but you don't really realize until, you know, now, as we're chopping it up 25 years later, is this sort of the impact, you know, sort of like it had even in my life, mm-hmm. right? To really realize, to hear Damon talk about it, and we've been buddies for a long time and stuff, but never to really, like, you know, you sit around your boys, you don't really, like, chop up the stuff that you chop up on podcasts, right?
Right, right, yeah.
Or whatever.
I got you. You know, it's kind of funny because we were just talking about Roman, and he's got that big Red Wing tattoo on his neck, and I, you know, Jesse Dupree's been a friend of mine for a billion years from Jackal, and I don't know if you know this or not, Darren, do you know what the first hockey game he ever went to was?
Was it March 26th?
No, it was the one that Yuri Fisher collapsed at.
Oh, no.
Right, and so for those that don't know, Yuri Fisher was a defenseman. He's on the bench and collapsed. And he collapsed on the bench.
And this was the big thing. So right there, because the medical staff and the defibrillators and stuff.
Right.
And that's why you see defibrillators in every arena in the state of Michigan.
So he collapses and he looks over at Roman. He's like, what is going on here? Why is the game stopped? Like, he's never been to a game before. He doesn't know what's happening. You know, so it's kind of a weird first game, a weird introduction. But, well, anyways, Damon, so you do your brother Kane thing. And then, of course, you know, a million miles has passed since, you know, you played with brother Kane last. You did Alice Cooper. Your solo stuff. I mean, just a million things you had going on. And now, what is the deal? Are you getting Brother Kane back together just to tour? Because Roman's not going to be with you this time around. But tell us, fill us in on what's happening here coming up this year.
Yeah, man. We, with the help of my manager, who I'm so proud of, man, he's always coming up with good ideas. And he reached out and he said, hey, man, what do you think about Brother Kane? And I says, well, I love Brother Kane. I said, it would be kind of impossible to get the original band together just because of geography and everyone's commitments. But, man, we're going to play two shows, April 21 in Joliet, Illinois, April 22nd in Milwaukee at the Potawatomi Casino. And we're just kind of testing the waters, Meltdown. The reaction is incredible. When I put that, you know, when I put that show up on my social media, I was not prepared for the wave of aggressively positive reaction from so many people. I mean, I was stunned. And, you know, I think it's a testament to the songs. Obviously, nostalgia is a beautiful thing. And, you know, people remember things differently 25 years later. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, they hear with their memories and they hear with their experience. So people are fired up for Brother Kane to return to the stage so we can perform those songs. And there's, you know, we're going to see how it goes, man. I'm still helping my friends in Lynyrd Skynyrd in 2022.
I mean, how cool is that, though, by the way? I mean,
yeah, it's insane.
Yeah.
It's insane. You know, filling in for Gary Rosington. So we're going to have to tap dance around that schedule. But Skynyrd's only doing about 30 shows this year, so that's going to give us plenty of time to do some more Brother Kane stuff. So I'm as excited as anybody, man. I was at a rehearsal earlier today, and you know, when we show up to do those first two shows, man, the band is going to be pistol tight. So I'm really thrilled about it.
You always are, dude. No matter what you do from anything else, I think that that's the beauty is every time I talk to you, you've either run into somebody else or played with some of the best. And here's the thing. So it wouldn't be out of line to say that if the stars align that, you know, here they changed that stupid name of DT back to Pine Knob, right? You know where Pine Knob is. You remember where Pine Knob is down the road in Clarkston, right? So saying it's not out of the question that if the stars align that maybe Brother Kane shows up on stage in Pine Knob this summer?
Oh, it can happen, guys. Should happen.
Well, let's universe it.
Why don't you get Brother Kane to open up for Lynyrd Skynyrd?
Hey, well, I was just going to say, Grinder's making its appearance again, so Grinder will open up for Brother Kane.
You boys don't think I'm already moving the wheel in that direction?
Right, exactly, yeah.
Absolutely.
You know me better than that. You know I'm trying to work that right now.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Well, hang on. You say your manager says to you, I got this idea. Why don't you get Brother Kane back together? But you've had to heard that question of a million times in the last 20 years, right?
I have. And, you know, really the only reason I haven't entertained it, guys, is because I haven't had a manager. You know, you need some help to launch something like that.
Amen.
You need some help. I don't want to. Look, I could have been playing Brother Kane dates ever since we broke up in 2000, but we'd be playing clubs, tiny little places and bars and pubs. And man, that band was too special. The songs are too timeless.
Absolutely.
That if we're going to launch Brother Kane, I want to launch it like a howitzer, fellas.
And that's
what we're looking to do.
You know, yesterday I posted that question on my social media about name your favorite band when you were in high school. And Dean Back, a good friend of mine from Theory of a Dead Man. Yeah, you know, Dean. Yeah, Dean put, Brother Kane. And so that's why I said, you know what? We got to get Damon on the podcast. And what's funnier, too, I don't know if you ever heard this story, D-Mac, but Chris Vane from Slipknot, who used to be in Slipknot, was a gigantic Brother Kane fan. And actually, you golfed with him somewhere, right? In Iowa or somewhere like that or something? What was the story with that?
I did. I was on tour with Alice Cooper, and Chris happened to be the guy that was going to host us for the round of golf that day. And as soon as we walked up, I was like, wait, man, I know you. What's your name? He goes, I'm Chris. And he goes, I'm in Slipknot. Of course, you can't ever see their face because they're wearing a mask. And Chris reminded me that he had come and hung out with Brother Kane years ago. I think it was at a show in Minneapolis. And we, you know, we just really bonded. But I had no idea, man, that the guy from Slipknot was such a diehard Kane fan. So that was, that was really cool.
But Damon, I think that it explains, like, you nailed it, right? And not only having the manager, but there's a manager that's brought you the why. And the why is that the Brother Kane music is timeless because it speaks to everything else. And now it's the same thing as we're talking about the 25 years. What I realized last year during COVID is that all the 35, 40-year-olds who were like 10 and 15 at the time that this happened, now they're all grown up with families, kids, bills, all this. They know what life's all about. So that experience of March 26th means a little bit more. It explains the colors in the photo a little bit different. Also, too, like the kids and the adults that listen to Brother Kane back in the 90s and stuff like this, it's timeless because I still listen to those tunes all the time, dude. And that, like, I mean, God No Shame has the harmonica part in that and stuff is just so the way it starts, it just gets you going. It's one of those that's toe tapper right off the rip, and you don't allow, see, that's the thing, you don't allow the fans not to get into it, and that's why you realize Brother Kane is a show for an audience.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, Mac. You know, timeless is a word that we tossed around even back then because, you know, there was the grunge thing was happening, then the new metal thing started with, you know, like Korn and Limp Bizkit and all great bands, a lot of great songs, but we were just committed to just, we didn't want to follow some trend musically. It's like, look, we're just four guys from Alabama that love classic rock. We want to try and write good songs and make timeless sounding recordings. And that's what we did, man. And the good news is here we are 25, 30 years later, and that stuff still sounds as good right now as it did back then.
So who is in the, who's going to be in the band playing these shows with you?
Meltdown, the drummer, is going to be my longtime friend and drummer, Jared Pope. Jared is with me in my trio, The Get Ready.
Right.
Jared was with me in Whiskey Falls. He's done so much with me. He lives down the street here in Nashville. The guy's my favorite drummer.
Is that the big dog? Big dog on the drums? Is that the one you brought to Detroit with you last time?
That guy was filling in for Jared.
Okay.
We met young Tyler. Tyler's a monster. He's a great player too, man.
Jared plays for Tom Kiefer.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay.
That's right.
Love Tom Kiefer. Yeah. So
go ahead. Instead of having a second guitar player, fellas, my longtime collaborator and great friend, also from Alabama, Buck Johnson, is going to be on B3 and piano and background vocals. Buck has his own full-time job with a little band called Aerosmith.
Never heard of him, but go ahead.
Yeah. So he's their touring keyboard player, and he sings all those background parts with Steven. So, but Buck is on, and, man, I'm so excited that the original Brother Kane bass player, I don't know if you even know this, Mac. Meltdown does because he's taught to Roman a bunch. But see, on the first Brother Kane album, Roman was on guitar.
Oh, yeah.
I do remember you guys always saying that because it was always it was a joke because you're not a real bass player anyways.
Well, he was getting all the women, so then they had to put him on the bass. Is that how it worked?
That's pretty much what
it is. That's exactly how it worked. So,
you're getting too many women.
The original bass player, Glenn Maxey, is going to be a part of this Brother Kane 2022, and guys, he's so fired up and so just grateful, man, you know, because he hadn't really been playing music a lot since the 90s, and he's in a great place in his life, and again, lives close by, so I just can't wait for you guys to hear this. I mean, I had a rehearsal with Buck an hour before I got on the phone with you guys, and we're already tightening up these vocal parts and guitar parts, and I'm really excited, man. We got to get Brother Kane to Detroit ASAP.
Absolutely. I'm stoked.
So, you know, it's been 25 years, you know, has it been exactly 25 years since Brother Kane, or was it 22, 23? What is it?
It's been 30 years, Meltdown, since the debut album was recorded. So next year is going to be the 30th anniversary of Got No Shame being on the radio.
Nice. Okay.
But basically 25 years since the band broke up. Yeah.
So 25 years, and we've talked about this before, but you guys were at a festival one time, for those that don't know, and you saw all this new metal out there, the Seven Dust and the Limp Bizkit and stuff, and you're kind of like, where do we fit in? And we should probably, you know, call it quits or move along. So looking back on 25 years, just talk about your experience and some of the stuff that you've done, and I mean, did you think in 25 years you'd be doing this again?
Well, I've always kept the window open to something with Brother Kane. You know, if there had been a little, you know, magic gnome, you know, pop up on my shoulder in the year 2000 and go, hey man, don't worry, you're gonna be fine, you're gonna play with Alice Cooper and Thin Lizzy, Stevie Nicks is going to record one of your songs. Yeah. Carlos Santana is going to record one of your songs. Don't sweat it. Everything's going to be fine. I wouldn't have believed that, you know, There's no way I could have believed all that would happen. So there's no question, man, that me working hard all these years and grateful for a good resume, a reasonable profile out there that people know who I am. But all of those people also know that I started Brother Kane. I was the singer in that band, the guitar player and the songwriter. And it just, I don't know, guys, I didn't see this coming. I just did not see this coming. Credit to Kevin, my manager, for saying, hey, if we're going to do this, we got to do it right. But the timing could be good. Maybe this is the year.
I think that's, you nailed it right there, because timing's everything. And the fact that you'd be able to build that res. Plus, think of all the golf that you got to play.
Oh, my God.
I mean, like, you wouldn't, it's almost like, you know, we're having this conversation, but I relate it back to the March 26th game, right? I couldn't have written a better script and put me as a star. So the way that it played out, right? The fact to get the revenge and scoring the overtime goal and then going on to win. But it's the same thing as sitting here today. It's all timing. My question is there other bands out there that have, that you listen to because that inspired you to get back? Is it something that, you know, because music, like you said, a last time, and I think that the beauty as to go watch you is seeing you play with everybody else, seeing you do whatever, but you getting back to your original after 25 years, fronting the band, you know, playing the lead guitar with your music that we do know. It's not like you're bringing something new out. You're bringing something back, you know, so.
Yes. Yeah. You know, man, I'm always listening to tons of music, all kinds of genres, but I have a deep affection for my friends from the D.C. area, a band you both know, and that band is Clutch.
Mm. Yeah, we just talked about that. Yeah.
Bro, Neil, yeah, I mentioned that to a Clutch Live at the Machine Shop is one of my favorite shows ever.
I didn't realize you were such a big Clutch fan.
Oh, I mean,
I didn't know that.
No, not you.
I knew you were.
Yeah. No, listen, man, I'm a huge fan of those guys. And Clutch started about the same time Brother Kane did.
Okay.
And my trio did a run of shows with Clutch right at the end of 2019. Not long before the pandemic kicked off. And, you know, Neil and Tim and JP, all the guys, they were like, well, do you ever think about Brother Kane? You know, man, those were good songs. I'm like, you know, maybe. We'll see. But, you know, Clutch is inspiring, man, because it's the same four guys that started that band. They've been together all these years. And their music just keeps getting better and better. So, you know, to see guys my age like that out there bringing straight ahead hard rock like that, it's inspiring, and it's definitely, you know, played a role in the things I'm doing now.
Yeah, they've definitely carved a niche. You know, it's funny, D-Mac, Damon's told me a couple stories I never forget, and one of them was when you auditioned for Alice Cooper, and you were just talking about golfing, and you auditioned for Alice Cooper, and Alice is like, hey, you want to join the band? And then Alice says something like, hey, do you golf? And he goes, and Damon goes, I love golfing, and Alice says, you just hit the jackpot.
That's it. No, absolutely.
Hey, the story was this. Right before we hung up, he said, hey, Damon, I'll see you at rehearsals, you know, next week. And I said, oh, Coop, one question before you go. I said, would it be okay if I bring my golf club?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he goes, what? He goes, you golf? And I says, well, I golf at it. I'm not really that good. But I says, you know, we're going to be on the road for 6 weeks. I thought maybe we could play maybe once a week. And Alice started laughing. He goes, once a week? He goes, Damon, I play every day. You just won the lottery.
That is so cool.
That is awesome.
That's exactly what it was. Darren, if I may, can I ask you one question about the beatdown?
Absolutely, brother.
I've never asked you this, man. Did you know, going into that game, that some payback was coming, or did it just hit you in the moment at some point during the actual game?
Okay, so it hit me when Drave Scott hit from behind right in front of me and broke his face, that I was going to get him back. But here's the thing, that happened in May of 96. March 20th, that's 10 months. So I got to think about this. Now, here's the whole thing, is you got to look into the drama of the whole situation is we set the league record. Okay, so you go back. We lose in the finals to in 95 to Jersey. We set the league record 96. Lose to Colorado in the last game. This happens. 97 season comes. We haven't beat Colorado the first three games of the year. We got one game left. There's some sort of rivalry matchup that, no, the whole time, and nothing was ever said. The only thing I tell everybody was ever said between any of us was when I got drapes out of the hospital, and I said, and I looked at him in the car, and I just looked at him, and I said, don't worry, I'll take care of it. Then I asked him where he wanted to eat, you know, but it was on the almost. And anyways, that's a, but the whole, no, it was thinking about, and the vibe in the room, and if you watch the Russian 5 documentary, Shani says it the best. Is that you knew that I was, you sort of know that it was gonna I was gonna take the solo, right? But I had to wait for it to happen, and if you notice it, it had to fall into place, right? So Shani was ready to get foot off me. I was ready when I saw Forsberg and Larionov rolling around like a bunch of puppies on Christmas morning. but right then I knew he was on the ice. And yeah, so it was just, it was, this is where, and you can relate to this, right? Manifest your reality, put it in the universe of what you want. And then when that opportunity is there, strike for that opportunity. Don't question it. This is that opportunity, right? It's the same thing as probably playing in front of 20,000 each night, probably going out and trying out for Thin Lizzy or for Alice Cooper or whatever like that, and just going out and saying, this is what I'm meant to do. And for me, it was all about that moment. And I tell everybody, if you watch that, if you remember, I'm a left-handed. I'm a lefty as far as I eat, I write, and I punch left. But this punch that I threw with the right hand, which it's heavy, but it's not accurate. But when I pulled it back, every man, woman, and child in Wing Wheeled Nation across the world was in that hand, because I hit him so hard on the button that he turtled. But Claude Lemieux himself said that he didn't turtle. He was knocked out. It's the hardest he's ever been hit.
Wow, I didn't know that.
So here's the caveat, though. Right, because I don't know what's going on around me. The goalies are fighting. Shani's grabbing it, because all I see is I look over at the bench because I can't hit him because I'm trying to rip his heart out through his nostril. And I know that's anatomically not possible, but I look over and I see drapes. It was like the
divine intervention. Yeah.
Sun divine intervention, and I took Claude Lemieux's head and I smashed as hard as I could against the boards. That a paintball swelled. That to this day he's got a 4-inch scar. So when he looks in the mirror, reminds him not to be stupid.
Well, you talked earlier about timing, and that was all timing.
Well, that's what it is. No, you got to take that opportunity.
But it was there. It was there for you. It was the perfect timing.
Let me relate this to meltdown. Yeah. You know, meltdown, when you get that pass and it's just off your stick no matter what, you're not worried. You're just trying to redirect and get it on net instead of taking the pass, getting your head up, taking a shot where the goalie's got a chance to set.
Right.
You're not that good. You gotta get it away quick.
Here we go.
Well, hey, the last thing I'll say, guys, is that it was theater. It was Shakespearean theater. It was just you couldn't have scripted it. You couldn't have written it better, like you said, Mac. It's just one of the great moments in sports history. It's just a bonus that it involved someone that I knew personally with a team that I had an affection for at this moment in the season and in the team's history that did. It just launched all the amazing stuff that came after that. Incredible.
Absolutely.
Incredible.
Well, Damon, I'll tell you what, man. Thanks so much for the time. So you're talking, we got two gigs this year, possibly more. You're going to go out on tour with Skinner. You got anything else in the works?
Well, that's really the main stuff for this year. You know, I'm always writing songs, guys, so I got some things taking shape. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see. I just think that between Skinner and some Brother Kane dates, 2022 is going to be a busy year, which I'm very grateful for.
Where's the best way that the peoples should check and follow to make sure they know when the Brother Kane will be around?
There is so much content and stuff coming, Mac. Good. People can go to any of my socials on all the platforms. I am Official Damon Johnson. That's Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and you can always go to my website, DamonJohnson.com, because we'll be having the dates posted there as well.
Yeah, killer Get Ready record, by the way. I was listening to that again today, and thanks so much for sending that to me, all autographed and everything, so...
My pleasure, brother. I'm so proud of that record. Listen, those songs could have all been Brother Kane songs right there. Every one
they
of them
the
could
vibe.
Have been.
They all have the vibe.
Yeah.
Right?
They
all have
the
vibe. Hey, Damon, I know the hardest song you'll ever write is the one I told you about on Needs called Hit the Net. So you work on that. Back to the drawing board. That's what it is. That's Melty's theme song.
I tell him all the time, snipers sometimes miss the net. That's what happens.
That's great. Listen, man, this is all quality song content right here.
Yeah, right.
I should be taking notes.
Yeah, if you want to ruin your career, take Darren's advice for writing songs about me not hitting the net. That's what we need. So,
but is it true?
Guys, sometimes.
Guys, it's such a pleasure, man. Thank you for having me.
Love you, bud. Tell Linda we said hi.
All the best to both of you.
That was fun, as it always is, when you get a couple old friends together. Got to thank Darren McCarty for coming by in the studio and doing that with us, as well as Damon Johnson on the phone. And yeah, the two shows with Brother Kane, one in Joliet, Illinois. That one perked my ears up right away. I've been to the Forge in Joliet before. I saw the guys from Sons of Apollo there. And the cool thing about that is that you gain an hour going from Detroit to Joliet. So that was a fun long night with those guys. But I may have to make the road trip out there. And I'd love to see Damon play with the guys from Lynyrd Skynyrd. I know how much that means to him and how much he was a fan growing up. So really cool stuff from those guys. So thank you so much for listening. Hope you guys enjoyed this. Man, it's been weird. It's like it's either feast or famine. I'm either loaded down with interviews or I'm not. I know that I have a couple I got one at least legendary classic singer coming up here in the next couple of weeks and some other ones that I'm working on as well. So if you get a chance, tune back and subscribe and follow and that whole thing. In the meantime, Pete, the guy with the big voice, sends us out as always.
Thank you for listening to Talkin' Rock with Meltdown. You can help this podcast grow by giving it a 5-star rating and writing a review on Apple and iTunes. Plus, feel free to subscribe and share it with your friends. Until next time, thanks for listening to Talkin' Rock.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.